Let's go, let's go, let's go.
This is the Training Camp Review Podcast from Patriots.com.
Tempo in and out of the huddle.
The Training Camp Review Podcast is your daily source for all the news from Patriots Training Camp. Couldn't make it to the Patriots practice? Don't worry. The writers of Patriots Football Weekly have you covered. Well, maybe not Fred.
It's supposed to be hot. It's supposed to be tough. It's the NFL. It's training camp.
Now, here to review today's practice, the writers of PFW.
All right, day two, four practices in, and PFW, Team PFW, still intact, minus Fred Kirsch, of course, Andy Hart, Eric Scalavino, Paul Perillo here. To recap another day of double sessions, gorgeous day today for both practices. Sun was shining, not a cloud in the sky, cool temperatures. But the action on the field, how would you compare it to yesterday's practice? Pretty intense couple of practices yesterday. I'd say probably pretty much the same level of intensity today. What do you guys think?
I would say as intense, maybe a little sloppier. I thought there were some dropped passes. I thought there were as many or more penalty laps for guys doing various infractions. But I think the physical competitive nature is sort of the overwhelming theme of the first 2 days of camp. And nothing more of an example of that than the goal line work over the last couple days. We had some big plays yesterday by Pierre Woods and Vince Wilfork stuffing guys. And then this morning, Tyrone McKenzie, I think, had not only the hit of camp so far, but one of the better hits I can remember in any training camp where he met Lawrence Maroney about
right
at the half-yard line, stood him up, sent him backwards with a big hit. And then I'm not sure whether he celebrated by throwing his helmet off or it incidentally came off.
A bit of a combination of both, perhaps.
He refused comment afterwards on that specific part of the play, but it was a big hit, and I think it was kind of a telling tale of the start to camp.
Eric, I would agree wholeheartedly with Andy. I think that you might be able to say that perhaps the level of play hasn't been as crisp and maybe as high as Belichick would like to see it, but the intensity level, the competition, I think, at a variety of spots. They're really working. You can see that there's a little bit of an edginess, I think, after some plays have been over. We've seen some receivers and some defensive backs. Marty Farnham seems to be involved in a lot of that.
Well, he should be. He needs to be.
He needs to do something. He's
got to
be a scrappy guy who's looking to make a name for himself. But Patrick Chung has been involved in that. Andy's guy, Jimmy Sanders, been involved in a little of that. So I think there's an edge to camp, which I think is a great sign. And I think all four practices to date have been in the same kind of mold. And Andy hits the nail on the head with Tyrone McKenzie. That's the best play in terms of excitement and enthusiasm that I can remember
for a while
in all of the camps that I've covered.
Right.
And I've seen goal line all the time.
Mm-hmm. You covered a lot of them.
This is my 12th camp. I mean, that's individually – that hit, it was as physical a hit as I can remember at practice.
Mm-hmm.
That was a terrific play and a highlight of the morning.
And I think the best part of it is, it's a guy we've all talked about as having potential excitement, could battle for a job inside, but we've never seen him with pads on, quote-unquote.
Right.
Well, this morning, we saw him with a helmet and pads on, and he knows how to use them. That's a good thing.
And we should also mention that all four of these practices have been full pads practices, so we've had an opportunity in each practice to see live action, full speed, full tilt hitting. Whereas sometimes in the beginning of camp you have double sessions, but there's maybe just a shells and helmets practice, a full pads practice, whatever, they split it up. These have been all full pads practices.
By design, I think. Competition is the biggest key for this camp. We all know it. There's a lot of jobs up for grabs. And I would say, Paul, talking about the level of competition versus the level of execution, you want the former first because you can't recreate competition. You can get them to execute. You can improve those things. That's what camp is for. What does Bill say? You have 20-something practices before you have a scrimmage or a game.
Yeah.
They're going to build towards the execution. The fact that it's so competitive from day one, I think, is a really good sign.
Right. On the attendance front, in the morning, there were about eight players who weren't in full pads, and some of them were on the field doing their regular rehab-type stuff. Some of them, the usual suspects, weren't there at all, and we're talking about Logan Mankins, Derek Burgess, who we found out today was placed on the reserve did not report list.
Because he did not report.
Before we continue with the attendance,
sure.
I did think it was interesting this morning when Bill talked about Burgess's case. They weren't expecting it. We kind of speculated during PFW in progress yesterday on Thursday when camp opened that you know, this
maybe there was an inkling. Yeah,
probably didn't catch them by surprise. Whenever they were supposed to report, which presumably would be Thursday for veterans not coming off any sort of surgery or IR like Burgess. Well,
Wednesday. Wednesday, actually.
Wednesday.
The condition runs.
Did I not say Wednesday?
You said Thursday.
No, I meant Wednesday. That's presumably when Belichick found out about this.
Mm-hmm.
And I probably assumed that it was prior to that. So I think it was kind of interesting that maybe, you know, they let go of Crable, and whether or not they – clearly they decided to close the door on Sean Crable. That's fine, but –
they may have left it ajar, but it's pretty much
shut. Andy brought up a good point. You need some bodies. I mean, right now that position is ridiculously thin, outside mm-hmm. linebacker, and you need some NFL bodies to even get through training camp. And they let go of Crable, and then the next day Burgess doesn't show up. You wonder if maybe you know, they're scrambling around right now. And Andy, you saw an internet report about Alex Hall.
That they supposedly put in a claim on him, did not get him. He's a young player from
former
Cleveland Eagles.
Philadelphia guy.
Fits the mold, 6'5", 250 type guy. Not a ton of experience or success in the league, but would certainly fill the role as a body.
Yeah. Along so I would those anticipate lines, a move in that position.
Oh, no question.
It's soon.
Along those lines, we should mention, yesterday, Rob Ninkovich got the bulk of the reps in place of Derek Burgess on the left side there. Today, Pierre Woods got some more action there, certainly in the morning session.
Mm-hmm.
So
too early to read anything.
Well, it's an
that.
Open battle. I mean, there's no question that, you know, as Woods said, it's best opportunity of his life and all that. They all know it, but there's a difference between knowing it and having the skill and ability to seize the moment, so to speak.
Kind of like in the spring when we saw that 3-man interior lineman rotation where you had Connolly, Kazier, Copen, those guys, some of the younger guys, Wendell. Yep. Ornberger, they were sort of rotating in there. With
differences. This is for a starting job, a key starting
exactly,
job.
Exactly. The stakes are a little bit higher in this case. Continuing with the attendance, Darnell Jenkins, wide receiver, Wes Welker, Brett Lockett, Thomas Clayton, Ron Brace, those guys were all in the morning practice on the field doing rehab-type work. Matthew Slater, who was hurt in the morning, wasn't seen again today, along with Burgess and Mankins, as we mentioned. Sam Aiken, who was out on the field yesterday in the rehab role, was back in full pads today for both practices, so that was a positive development on his part. But during that morning practice, a couple of other guys got banged up a little bit, including Ty Warren, Kyle Love, and Nick Kazier, who we didn't see towards the end of the morning practice, didn't see him at all on the field in any circumstance in the afternoon practice. So that meant that Dan Connolly, who we mentioned, got a lot more reps at left guard during the team offense type drills. Too early to panic a little bit about that particular spot as well as the outside linebackers, do you think?
Yeah, plus I'm not panicking. I think they have bodies in there. You listed a slew of them that I think are more capable NFL bodies than they necessarily have. I mean, Dan Connolly is a fifth-year player, has some experience playing guard, some fullback. You know, and it's guard. You know, even in the worst-case scenario, whoever you throw out there, to his left will be Matt Light, to his right will be Dan Copen. There is some form of teamwork there. Whereas at outside linebacker, on a lot of plays, you're setting the edge. You're on an island. You are, to some degree, the safety net on that play for the defense in that area. If you fail, the defense will fail. So I don't think there's quite the spotlight and intense focus on that position that I would say is there at outside linebacker at this point.
We got our first look at rookie punter Zoltan Mesko in live action in this camp. He seems to have made some improvement in his consistency from what we saw in the spring practices, unleashing some pretty...
I like to call it a shank-to-bomb ratio.
Okay, sure. Shank-to-bomb ratio.
And I think now it's actually called a bomb-to-shank ratio.
Two
in
bombs,
the spring, it was a true shank-to-bomb.
Right.
Two bombs for every shank.
Two bombs for every shank.
And he flipped it. In the spring, it was two shanks
every bomb. It was just the other,
bomb.
Right. And so
and he had one today this afternoon that was indeed
the 70-yarder on the fly?
Yeah, I don't know if it was 70 yards, but it was a nice
pretty
bomb.
Close.
It was well struck. He's getting better, and that's good to see. That's kind of, you know, the Julian Edelman thing from a year ago. If we can see that every time he punts, gets a little more consistent, then we'll know why there wasn't any competition.
Right. And taking turns fielding for the scout team, Julian Edelman, Taylor Price, Brandon Tate, and Buddy Farnan, the same sort of second year and rookie rotation that we've kind of seen at that spot throughout the spring and the early part of the summer so far. Any other standouts from either practice from either of you guys?
Well, kind of a housekeeping type thing. I wonder, Ty Warren not there this afternoon, got banged up in the morning session.
Right.
Vince Wilfork played left defensive end this afternoon after right defensive end in the morning.
Yep.
And some nose tackle. Actually, this afternoon it was a rotation of a three-man group there of Gerard Warren, Vince Wilfork, and Mike Wright kind of rotating through all the spots on the defensive line. So it's interesting, not only Wilfork showing his versatility, which we saw flashes of last year, and we've seen it from Wright, but Gerard Warren kind of running through the rotation there. So with Ty Warren out, they all got some reps there.
Paul, any other observations from either practice that stood out?
No, not really. I think, you know, just
not in the best in the podcast business for nothing.
No, I think you guys did a good job of covering it. I don't think there's any sense of rehashing. Let me just throw in, you know, I thought Brandon Tate had a nice day today. Made a couple of difficult catches, really nice catch on a deep ball over Lee Bodden from Tom Brady in the afternoon practice, which was a nice play. And I also thought Taylor Price showed up a little bit in the afternoon. He made a nice catch, although it was more with the all rookies in that kind of a situation. But I thought Brandon Tate had a nice day today.
And Steven Gostkowski, looking in midseason form already, seems to be on that 6-for-7 average.
Tremendous.
With his misses just being slightly wide left or right from
close
the 30 to 40 yard range.
Hand grenades,
but he's on special teams.
He's looking. Oh, wow. Do it on your own time.
Do it on your own
Mr.
time.
Mr. Paul Perillo, Mr. Big Time.
I liked it better when he had nothing to add.
Well, that'll wrap up day two of training camp. We'll be here tomorrow, some of us, for day three and the fifth and sixth practices. And our new guy,
Steve.
Kevin, who runs the board back there. Yeah,
and Joe.
He thought his name was Steve. All kinds of different names.
Phil.
We'll be here this weekend for
the
entire weekend of Tua Days. So join us again tomorrow at this time for another podcast.
See ya.
Thank you for downloading this podcast from Patriots.com. Log on anytime for more news and more podcasts from your favorite team and Patriots.com.